Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Search, Deploy, Commit. I'm here with Kenny, the one and only creator of Wargaming Live. Thank you so much for being here on the podcast with me, Kenny. Do appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, Jack.
Yeah, I was super excited to have you when you reached out to me on Discord and were telling me about how you actually started Wargaming Live. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is something that I was just oblivious to. And obviously probably a lot of other players potentially are as well. So with the history that you have, and obviously, you know, even kicking that off, such a big part of Warzone, I had to have you on. So thank you so much for being here.
No, thank you for the opportunity. It's awesome to be here.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic to have more Warzone players on, and obviously influential, you know, players like yourself. I think so many times I have people like yourself on and you guys don't give yourselves enough credit. So thanks for what you do in the game. But, you know, I have to ask a little bit about your history, because obviously I'm out of the loop when it comes to that. Tell me a little bit about how you got started playing Warzone. How did you find out about it?
Well, back in the day, I think this was like, God, probably 2012, maybe 2011. Like, Warzone was on this site called Kongregate. And I don't know if you had ever played Kongregate back in the day. Yeah.
Classic.
Classic, because all these Flash games were just there and you could just go through and just click through a bunch of just really unique and innovative Flash games back in the day. And I happened to cross a game called Warlight, and I started playing it, and I was like, wow, this is really fun, you know? And so I ended up creating my account and then moving it over to the main site, and I got into it. I started playing just multi-day tournaments and just real-time. Poland, I think, back then was one of the bigger maps. You don't even see 1v1 Poland nowadays, but yeah, that was like one of the main things people were playing, because there was a huge Polish community on Warlight when I first arrived. Right, that's where like names like Schwenigan and like a couple of those guys came from. But yeah, so I would play like real time 1v1 Poland, and I would play multi-day like tournaments, and then I got into this 2v2 multi-day tournament, and my teammate was JSA, the founder of Lynx. At the time, he was in some random clan, and we just hit it off in that 2v2 tournament, and he invited me to this tournament called Clan League. I was just like, I want to say it was season 2, but don't quote me on it.
So really early.
Yeah, I can't remember if I joined season 2 or season 3, but I definitely did not join in season 1.
This is obviously still Warlight at this point.
Oh, yeah, like definitely. It was still Warlight until I think after Clan League 5 or 6 or something like that, but
okay.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
So I got into that and I was like against like joining clans at the time, and I ended up joining the clan anyways because I wanted to get in on that level of play. And
why weren't you into clans? Just not a benefit, or
I don't want to be too rude, but at the time they seemed a little bit obnoxious back then, because like they were very like clicky and like catering to only specific communities and stuff like that.
Interesting.
I don't really like stuff like that. I
like
more open stuff when it comes to like clan, kind of like what it is right now, to where people are just like commingling.
Sure.
Like the clan that I'm in right now, Master Clan, like you see people from USA, you see people from like Belarus, you see people from like all over the globe, you know. And that wasn't how clans were back then. You had Warlight Masters, which was like your European clan. You had a lot of different just Polish clans, and there's like the Americans were only sticking with the Americans.
Sure.
And that's kind of how it was working at the time. And I would have rather like more of a commingling kind of thing to where I get to meet.
Yeah.
Because
so you just weren't really feeling the vibe and you wanted to stay out of that.
Right.
But you joined for Clan League, obviously.
Yeah, I joined for Clan League and I got really interested in the more competitive aspect of the game from there. And that's what made me start looking into, well, how can we connect these communities? How can we like get these people to like commingle some more? And at the time, Twitch was just starting off. Like this is
sure.
It was like 2012, 2013 ish. Yeah. So
a decade ago, Kenny.
Yeah. Don't remind me. Such a long time ago. But yeah, Twitch was just coming out and there's this duo on YouTube that I was watching that they were playing like the 2v2 ladder and they're in the top 10 of the 2v2 ladder. Their names were Mithonian and Casey Scraggs. And I realized that they were probably the perfect people to ask about trying to do something more real time and putting it on Twitch. So I came up to them and was like, hey, is there any way we could make this game work live? And we thought about it for, it took like us like a week or two of discussion to even like come across like a format that would work, because this game's really unique in that you can't watch a game that's progressing at the time without like light fog or stuff like that. And we were like thinking, well, do we sacrifice the like strategic aspect to go towards like a light fog template just so that we have something to show the viewers, or do we just keep the strategic aspect and just, you know, we'll start the stream like 30 minutes later and then we'll just review games and just ask the community to be polite and not to spoil during the live stream. And that's that's ultimately what we ended up doing. We didn't come across the later format to where like the commentators and hosts would play. Back then, we were only focusing on hosting and commentating. So, yeah.
Interesting.
So, the first like two live streams went okay, but it was very clear that I wasn't really the best commentator at the time because I had no real strategic experience at the time. So what really kicked it off was Schwenigan from Warlight Masters, WM clan, came to us and asked if he could commentate. I was sort of like, holy crap, like this is it. This is the dude that we need to help us kick this off, because he was the only one that could actually keep the real strategic community entertained, right? Because we had no problem entertaining like casuals or stuff like that, because they didn't care what we said for the most part. But when Schwenigan showed up, it was like, oh, like light bulbs on, all the like competitive guys are coming out of the woodworks now to play, because
all the nuances.
Yeah. Because they had Schwenigan basically telling them how to play the game now, because they're, now you have this guy that's like, you know, like rank one ladder player. He was like playing, he was one of the top in the 3v3 Europe, like real time games. Like
And he from some of my conversations with other players, those 1v1 ladders were a way bigger deal back then than they are now.
No, he was a phenomenal player, and he's what really kickstarted the whole thing, because again, everybody wanted to get their games reviewed on live stream because it's such a valuable learning experience.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know if you have played in any of the Wargaming Live events, because they're so scarce right now, but like if you have, it's really valuable to get somebody to actually review your game. That's one of the easiest ways to improve in this game.
Yeah. No, unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to compete live. I did do a live stream. It's kind of hard to find on my YouTube channel, but I did it with Cowboy, and he did a really great job of coaching me through that.
yeah,
you get the ultimate experience of noob and pro in one game together. I think we missed out on some of our placements because of him explaining to me good picks and our timer ran out.
Yeah.
So we get locked in. So I can see how that would be beneficial though. Cause I mean, I feel like I learned a lot in that conversation with him just over one or two games. If somebody's reviewing your game live, yeah, that's gotta be that's a game changer.
Yeah. And it was a game changer for a lot of the people who wanted to participate. Right. So that really got the strategic community and the casual community kind of commingling now. And that's more or less what, like, that was like me hitting a home run, like with the ideas that we were having at the time, like it, to actually bring the two different communities together. That was like a huge home run victory. Like I was super happy with it. And I went overboard doing it. Like we were doing both a 1v1 tournament and a 2v2 tournament every weekend. And then I was doing like events during the week and stuff like that. Like we were pushing content. We're doing like probably 3 or 4 events a week. And
wow.
Yeah, it was fun. And I did it for pretty much like a year straight, but I got burned out doing that. And,
yeah.
I kind of faded away and let other people kind of start hosting it so that I could focus more on competing in Clan League because I had just gotten invited to Apex, which is that's when we made the 3-in-a-row victory run on Clan League.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So
Apex is you didn't start Apex, but you joined that group.
Yeah, I joined them. They started off with a guy called Dunga, who is a Brazilian player who reached rank 1 on the ladder back in the day. And he was really well known for having super aggressive 1v1 play. And pretty much everybody in the clan at the time were excellent 1v1 players. But if you look at their track record on like season 3, season 4, their team games were really lacking. With the exception of 2v2, because they had a Brisk and Grona, who were really great at 2v2. Anyways, I had started at WGL. I had started working on team play because I really enjoy 2v2s and 3v3s. And I reached out to Apex saying, hey, I would like to join you guys and try to help you guys figure out where the mistakes are coming in on the 3v3 and the 2v2s so that Apex can become like the dominant clan in Clan League. And it took, I want to say like I applied and it took like 3 months of discussion for them to let me in because I was not a great 1v1 player. And I was just starting to hit the more like a skill peak when it came to like 2v2, 3v3 at the time. And Apex was a really interesting clan because every single decision that they made had to be unanimous between the clan members. So you're talking about like
interesting
7 guys that had to talk it out, and they all had to meet me and play 1v1s with me. And like, actually, we went back and forth for a while, so that's why it took such a long time. But once I got in there, I became more their spokesperson, and I started really, really training on 3v3s and 2v2s, and that's when we started our run back then.
Wow. I mean, and obviously they're a competitive clan and they have some very rigid rules in place, and I can see that you're no longer with Apex. Was there something that happened, or did you just change for a similar reason that you stayed out of them in the past?
No. So I would have stayed with them all the way, but the problem is, so at the end of our 3-win streak, I was getting ready to go to the Navy. So, and I worked in the Navy for 6 years on a submarine.
Oh, so, wow. Thank like, you for your service.
Thank you for your support. So I was getting ready to join the Navy, and I didn't really have enough time to like set everything up for the next season and stuff like that. And on top of it, we are losing some people due to just like them getting burned out and them wanting to take a break. And the problem is the problem with like having unanimous consent between the clan members is that adding people is a very slow process and a rigid process. It's a great process when it works, but when you're trying to quickly set up for next season, it kind of falls apart because we're trying to invite people at last second to fill the roster. And then
sure,
we didn't get our best roster out that next season. And I also had to leave. So after that, when I was in the Navy, I came back and they pretty much disbanded by the time I had come back. Like everybody had just either gone inactive or had joined other clans. And so sure, one of my best friends from Apex, Timinator, had joined Master. So I had joined Master with him.
Gotcha. And obviously, there's so many great stories around clans. So it's really fun to hear Apex's story for people that haven't heard. And if you even go and look at their clan page, there's some pretty big names on there that you have that were original Apex members. So that's really interesting.
Oh, yeah. And every one of those guys was excellent and at their peak at the back in the day. So like Kuri, Brisk, Rona, Frank DeSleemstay, all of them. Just excellent players.
Wow. So, you know, my question is, what's it going to take to bring Apex back?
I mean, we need some of the original founding members to really come back. And if they do, like, no hesitation, we would come back.
Everybody's back, you think? You heard it here, guys. It's, no, Kenny's they're not vote back is yet. In.
Yeah, if I they know, do I mean. Come back, I am absolutely, without a doubt, I would compete with them again. Like, they're such awesome people. I enjoy playing with all of them.
That's great. Yeah, it's so much of that you find on Warzone. So many good memories and good times and matches played with people. And speaking of that, you know, tell me a little bit about maybe one of your favorite matches. Maybe it was just a game that you played with somebody that you really hit it off with them, and that was like that match. Or if maybe it was a big win, whatever it is, describe it to us.
Oh, God, there is this 2v2 that I played back in the day. It was some round robin, and this is where I met JSA, is in this round robin. I had joined with him, and we were up against Brisk from Apex and Druhei, which is his brother. And they were like top three of the 2v2 ladder at the time. And we had this incredible match between them to where JSA got eliminated and I had to 1v2 Brisk and Drage and I won. And
wow,
that was an incredible game. I ended up like, it was a 1v2 for all of, I'm looking at it right now.
All right, we're going to have to put the link for everybody when we finish.
I will.
You guys check it out in the links below.
I gave it to you in the Discord right now. Nice. But I eliminated Drayuge on turn 12, but JSA was eliminated on turn 5.
Wow.
And then from turn 12, it was a 1v1 Brisk versus me of pretty much similar income, and I ended up winning. And that was the game that sold me on the more strategic side of Warlight at the time. And that's what got me interested in Clan League and then later joining Apex. Is that match was a big one that was like, holy, it was like, oh my God, these guys are incredibly good, but I can kind of compete with them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Those moments that you have in the game, especially in favorite matches where you realize, wow, this is, I could get used to this, right? Yeah. Yeah. That's a fantastic one. And so, you know, tell me a little bit about that hectic time that was, you know, 3 days a week, Wargaming Live. What was it that was really pushing you to keep doing that? I mean, it sounds like it was really important that you were bringing, you know, the casual players, the more competitive players, but then also the different clans together in a way. Was that kind of the driving force for you, or like, what was it that just kept you going, you know, 3 days a week for like a year?
That's a really good question. I think it was just the response that we got from the community, right? So without the community having such a great response to the content that I was creating and the events that I was making, I wouldn't have done any of it, to be honest. So what really got me going was all the positive support that I had from the Warlight community. And they were constantly pitching me ideas. They were constantly being like, hey, Kenny, we should try to do our next event like this. I mean, it was really awesome. Just everything just kind of clicked together, and the community just was very vibrant and just trying to push for more and more content like that. So it was more the demand from the community to keep it going that it kept me wanting to do that grind.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, I think, I was just, when you said that, I was like, wow. I mean, I know when I started the podcast, there was definitely some drive in myself to keep it going pretty consistently, but you know, good for you to listen to, you know, the people that were watching your content and continue to make them happy. I think that's really important as a creator, especially for this community. Is, you know, my desire as this creator for this podcast and for any other content I put out is for the whole Warzone community and everybody all over the world that plays. And I think it's pretty obvious your thought process very similar.
Yeah.
You know, after playing so much and experiencing so much interaction from all these different types of players, what is something that you think you could share for like a newer player specifically that would help them improve, or maybe a facet about the game that they haven't experienced or checked out yet? What would your best advice be to them?
So for newer players, I think the most important thing to do is to review your games as you're playing. Like, don't just win a game and then move on to the next game. Figure out why you won that game. What was the move that made it so that it was impossible for you to lose the game from then on? Because understanding those critical points in a game will allow you to reproduce that over and over again. And I think when I was learning this game, probably the best resource that I could think of at the time to learn how to play the game was to just look at ladder games, like 1v1 ladder games. Let's say like that's the template that you want to improve at. Well, it turns out that there's hundreds of games to look at. You can look at how the top level players play. You can look at how players near your skill level play, and you want to be asking yourself questions like, why did they pick this pick? Why did they do this move? Why did they do, you know, specifically the things that they did, and why did they win, or why did the, you know, loser lose? And if you can identify those points, then you can kind of replicate it. And that is probably the best way to learn the game. if you just try to brute force this game and just keep playing games over and over again, and you don't actually sit down and self-reflect of, you know, why you won or why you lost, then you'll just move on without learning any of those important lessons. And so I think that that ties back to why Wargaming Live was such a success at the time, is because we were on live stream reviewing those for the players. And that really helped a lot of those people improve really quickly.
Yeah, that's, I think that's really good advice. And I think other players that play competitively specifically give that advice, is go back, check your matches, you know. And I think of myself as still a very new player, and probably more casual than I would like to admit.
Yeah, that's completely fine. Like, you don't have to jump into the strategic community. That's the beauty of a game like Warzone. Now, is that there's so many different templates to play. There's so many different ways to play the game that you don't necessarily have to jump straight into the strategic community or anything like that.
Oh,
You can find what you just enjoy doing.
Yeah, and that's that kind of, it's funny that you say that. It kind of plays into the next question I was wanting to ask you, which, you know, you talk so much about the history that you've had with the game, and you've really grown with it. You know, you started very early in its development and inception, right? I mean, playing it as a flash game and seeing it grow from that. What about the new features or benefits, or maybe other aspects of the game have you really enjoyed as you've seen it progress and get better? Or maybe an old feature that was, like, you know, either great or maybe it's just, wow, that was terrible. Glad that you new players don't have to experience that.
I think that there have been a lot of attempts to bring more variety to the game in the form of, like, commanders, bombs, and other cards like that, and just other facets to try to make it more interesting. And it's funny that these features that got released never actually resulted in creating another, like, really highly strategic template, until, like, people started creating the, like, new maps with the new bonus system with, like, Elitist Africa and those kind of maps, to where they changed up how the bonuses were calculated. So we didn't have anything like that back then. Pretty much everything that we played was weighted random luck. So there's a lot of frustration in when a 3v2 attack wouldn't work or something like that. And there's a lot of matches that were even won because one player had, like, four 3v2s succeed in a row, which allowed them to get a bonus that they wouldn't normally be able to get, because that's, like, a 10% chance or something of working, right? So one in 10 matches, you'll see something like that. So I think the game kind of progressed in being more luck-based and more like Risk, and turning into more like chess over the years is kind of what I observed, because we used to really like those luck-based templates. And then slowly the strategic community would just get frustrated with those luck-based templates, and they started using straight round and going to a 0% straight round. And I remember there being this huge backlash from the community, like, why are you guys trying to remove luck from, you know, these games? And there are these huge discussions about how, like, oh, you know, weighted random is the only real way to play this game versus like straight round. Like, there's debates like that. So I would say, yeah, it kind of evolved from this luck based game into this no luck at all into the new bonus systems that created by the map. And funny enough, none of this was really done by Fizzer or by any feature that he released. This kind of just happened naturally in the community, you know.
And I think that's started making things, right?
Yeah, all of a sudden people start making things, and despite Fizzer wanting to create something else to try to interest the strategic community, it's like Fizzer would make a plate of spaghetti, and then the strategic community would be like, No, and just dump it on the ground and just continue on doing something else, you know? I almost feel bad for him because I feel like every feature that he releases like that kind of gets overlooked. So the other things that Fizzer did create that were that the strategic community took to almost immediately was like the clot system, you know, being able to create our own Swiss round robin tournament, or the way that Clan League operates today is completely clot based, you know, that's somebody created, you know, a coded tournament in order to actually sort through and decide the matches and stuff like that. And I would have loved it back then if we had anything like that. Oh my God, it was awful being to have to sit there and manually create every single round robin tournament. And then you would have somebody who would just, you know, leave because life happens, and they would have to leave, and all of a sudden they're dropping all of their, you know, matches in that round robin. And we'd have to scramble to figure out, you know,
what are we going to do?
Yeah, what are we going to do? Like, we can't just let this clan like lose all their points just because this one guy needed to leave. And there's even people that were totally against us trying to do anything about that. And we would get into huge arguments about that too. So I was, when he created the clot support, I was super happy because I was like looking at it from the eyes of an organizer going, oh, thank God, you know, there's now something that we can do about this. So, there were features that he created that just never panned out. And there's some that were just absolute home runs, that he did. And so I was very grateful to see him coming up with such creative, systems such as like the clot system and stuff like that.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of which, you know, you talk about Clan League in general, you're back in it this year. When was the last time you were in Clan League?
Oh man.
Prior to this.
I think the last one that I participated in was season 8.
Wow. So it's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
So this is a big change for you. All of the new features and probably rules, and I mean, not big on the rules necessarily, but obviously some changes I would think from 8 to 16.
Honestly, I'm actually playing the exact same template that I played back in season 8, which is the funny part.
Wow.
So in roughly 8 years, it turns out that one of the most strategic templates in the game is still in the game and being played today. So I was really happy to see that. And as soon as Master was like, oh, hey, we need somebody to play this 3v3, I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. I'll play that.
Right. Yeah, no, right back what you're familiar with and obviously performed well in. So, and obviously this podcast, you might be listening to it, you know, well after Clan League, but power to you. And I hope things are continuing to go well for you.
Yeah, no, it's been a strong start, and I imagine that the middle will not be so great, but I'm hoping to end the tournament really well.
Time will tell. Time will tell.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, you know, I think, you know, so many things that we could ask you, but I think as far as what you mentioned before. And the question I always like to ask players is, you know, what do you want to see improved in the game? Or, you know, coming back for Clan League now, what is something that you've noticed has changed over the years and maybe you would like to see improved either from the community or from the game itself?
There's a lot that I think. For at least the event side, I think that people have kind of gravitated towards only Clan League, especially for like the team aspect of the game, like the 3v3s and the 2v2s. And I don't see a lot of events that focus around the 2v2s and 3v3s. So it kind of makes me sad because that's kind of like my bread and butter right there is I love playing 2v2s and 3v3s. So I wish that there was more events like that. And if I had time, I would probably revive some of my old team oriented events.
Hmm.
But I unfortunately don't have that time.
Yeah. I mean, and again, you know, you talk about the beauty of the game. I think that's a big part of Warzone is for me is, you know, a lot of us just don't have time, but I might have a little bit of time in between my activities to and my responsibilities to make a couple moves on my map in Warzone. And I think that's what's pretty special about the game. But yeah, some of these extracurriculars are tough. So,
yeah.
You know, I think you've been with this game for a long time. War Gaming Live was a treat for all of us. And obviously with PS and yourself and everybody else that was involved has continued to keep this community, you know, really strong. So we thank you for your contributions, for getting this going. And, you know, really, in a way, help set me up as well for, you know, the community that's still here. So thank you for what you're doing and what you've done. And, you know, I have to ask you, you know, I kind of shared what has always brought me back to Warzone, and it's my ability to play when I have time and the community and the people that are here. But what is it for you specifically that brings you back to Warzone?
Oh, it's definitely the people that I play with, especially in Masters. They're all awesome people. Even when I was in Apex, there was a lot of people in Masters that I was like looking at and going, man, I would love to, you know, play with them, or at least, you know, just banter back and forth with them. And so I think that is mainly what brings me back, because if I wasn't in some sort of like clan or community that I was so strongly against when I first, you know, joined, that connection right there is really what brings me back, and being able to see these guys that I played with like almost 8 years ago still enjoying the game today, and getting to catch up with them and actually play alongside them has been a treat. It's been great.
That's awesome. And I think, you know, who knows, maybe Apex will rise again.
Who knows? If I could bring those guys out of retirement, I would.
That's awesome. Well, hey, thank you so much for being on the podcast, and power to you and your endeavors. And thank you everyone for listening. We do appreciate you checking us out, and we hope we see you in the next one. Take care, everybody.
All right. Goodbye.